Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is this working?
No.
It is not.
No.
Since I took up supply preaching for short-term jobs, you would be amazed, how's that?
Yeah.
At the number of Justin Bieber microphones I have had to get used to in the last 6 years. Laura Lee is going to lead us in our announcements this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Laura Lee Axtell. Because Jesus is our great high priest, we approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. From Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Welcome to worship, one and all, no matter where you are in your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this mission of Zion. If you would like to sponsor a Sunday radio broadcast, please contact the church office. The sermon this morning is titled, At Home in a New World, by Pastor Bill Klima. Thank you to everyone who donated to the Neighbors in Need offering last Sunday. So far, we have received $347 to help people in need in our own nation. If you haven't donated yet, Neighbors in Need envelopes are in the pews and the October newsletter. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are from the funerals of Troy Jones and Pauline Denzer. The October meeting of Ruth's Circle will be on Tuesday, October 14th at 2 p.m. All women of Zion who are interested are welcome to attend. The church council will meet in the conference room at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. There will be no fusion or confirmation classes on Wednesday, and the choir will not be meeting. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
You made me. Every single part. All of this woven together by your hand. All of me. I was unseen, but you saw me. I was unknown, but you knew me. In your book, my life was written, my days complete, before the first began. My soul rejoices at the wonder of your creation. All of these works of art, of which I am also one. Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 16.
Would all who are able please stand for the call to worship? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name. Give him glorious
praise. Praise the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Let us pray. O God, light of the hearts that see you, life of the souls that love you, strength of the thoughts that seek you. To turn from you is to fall, to turn to you is to rise, to abide in you is to stand fast forever. Although we are unworthy to approach you or to ask anything at all of you, grant us your grace and blessing. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. The hymn is number 121. Let's join our voices together in God Reigns O'er All the Earth.
Bygone days, Christ's face.
God calls us to examine our faith to his covenant with us. In his presence we gather, and he promises us grace and pardon when we acknowledge our weakness and shame. Let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Mighty God, Spirit of purity and grace, whose salvation is never far from the contrite heart, hear our confession of sin and have mercy upon us for our many refusals of your call, for the excuses we have fashioned to hide from ourselves and our unfaithful lives, for our selfish luxuries amid the oppression and sorrows of life, for the pleadings of your Spirit to which we have not hearkened. Have mercy on us. Amen. People of God, leap up, dance. The Spirit is here in healing power. Your sins are forgiven. Rise up in the new life of the Spirit. Peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace with one another. Dolores Lowe will be joining me in leading the service of the word for this morning. Dolores? Okay, you want to be here?
Our Old Testament lesson is from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 1 through 7. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the artisans, and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elazah, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom King Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare."
The psalm that is set for today in the Revised Common Lectionary is a portion of the 66th psalm, and you'll find that set as a responsive reading on the second page of your bulletins. Let us join our hearts and our voices in reading the poetry of the psalmist responsively. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds.
Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth worships you.
They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done.
He is awesome in his deeds among mortals.
He turned the sea into dry land. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever.
Whose eyes keep watch on the nations, let the rebellious not exalt themselves.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet be slipped.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs.
You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water.
Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place.
Amen.
Dolores?
Our epistle lesson is from 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I will endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before the Lord that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth.
I stood up because I thought I was getting some feedback through this wireless microphone, and I didn't want to interrupt what you were doing. So, I'm going to move over to the pulpit for the gospel lesson. The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was the end of the world as Jeremiah and the people who read his letter understood it. An invader had overrun the last remnant of the promised land to which Moses had led God's chosen people. The foreigners destroyed the city walls. They took the king, a direct descendant of King David, away to Babylon and imprisoned him there. They burned down the temple that David's son Solomon had built as God's very home in Zion. They killed many of the community's leaders and took thousands of people who had any schooling, smarts, social standing, or leadership skills into exile in far away Babylon. A few of the people left behind tried to continue the temple sacrifices in the burned out shell of the first temple in an unprotected city. It just wasn't the same. The Babylonians had shattered the old way of life that they knew and loved. No more temple, the very home of the God who had delivered their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. No more priests to offer sacrifices in the temple. No more kings from the line of kings going back to David centuries earlier. Everything that centered and grounded their lives was gone. For years, Jeremiah had tried to tell them that this was coming. A faith that centered on the externals of temple sacrifice without internal repentance was doomed. A faith that expected God to save the temple when he had always saved it before almost bargained with God to favor them with magic instead of leading people to trust in God's goodness and care. They had grown lax in their faith and careless of the gifts God gave them. Jeremiah told them it couldn't last, and sometimes he told them at great risk to his safety, freedom, and even his life. The Babylonian conquerors misread his oracles of doom and concluded that he had sided with them, probably the only reason that they didn't force him into exile with hundreds or thousands of other leaders of Judea. From the ruins of Jerusalem, Jeremiah wrote a letter to the exiles in Babylon. His ideas about their future and the future of Jerusalem must have astounded those who read or heard his letter. The people wanted to wake up from a bad dream tomorrow morning, walk back to Jerusalem, and find their temple and city walls miraculously rebuilt. The people to whom Jeremiah wrote yearned to go back to their old homes and their old ways, which had kept them grounded, even if they were lax in faith. But Jeremiah told them that God planned a different future for his chosen people from the way of life they enjoyed before the Babylonians marched them off into exile. Build houses, God told his chosen people through the voice of the prophet Jeremiah, and live in them. Plant gardens and enjoy all those fresh tomatoes and beans and cucumbers. Get married and have families. When your children have grown, encourage them to do the same. Jeremiah's last prophetic oracle dumbfounded them. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, they heard. Pray for that city, for in its well-being you will find your well-being. They grieved over their way of life in their old home in Jerusalem, and God told them to settle down in this strange new place far from home. They would not see Jerusalem again for decades if they saw it at all. They had watched an enemy destroy their beloved temple and city walls, and now God tells them that their good and their safety and even their faith in their God will come from lining up their interests with that enemy. They had watched friends die in a lost battle for Jerusalem. They had endured the terrible journey into exile in a foreign land, and God tells them that their future will be nothing like their past. These people were angry. Angry at the Babylonians, angry at their leaders who had blown it, angry with prophets like Jeremiah, and angry with God. They yearned for the familiar old way of life that they had enjoyed back in Jerusalem. Instead, God used the prophet's voice and writing to tell them that the old way of life was gone and that he would lead them toward a new way of life that began in a strange, far away place. They were grieving, angry, and so astonished that they may have missed one of the most important messages in Jeremiah's letter. God still loved them, cared about them, and wanted to keep them as his chosen people, in spite of their sins, in spite of the times when they took God's love and care for granted. Today, there are still times when God calls his people of faith to live differently and faithfully and fruitfully in a different world from the one in which they would prefer to live. Ask any pastor in my age bracket, especially one with a few years of experience behind him or her, and that person will tell a similar story. We grew up in the 1950s and 1960s in one kind of church. God called quite a few of us to serve in ministry, and we were ordained to the ministry of the church in an era far different from the one in which we expected to serve. We can remember when the church was popular, full of people, and the place to be. A church with even a fair youth ministry had busy youth groups doing all kinds of terrific things. Our Sunday school rooms were full of children. The church was the center of social life, an exciting place where you met your friends and made new ones. The church was a respected institution with a respected place in community life, a place upon which other groups would never think of intruding upon its work. Shopping malls were closed on Sunday, and no one ever heard of Sunday morning soccer practice. Today we know that the church's life is very different, even if we don't know all the reasons for this tremendous change. No longer is the church the popular place to be and be seen. Where it once stood at the center of community life, the church has been pushed to its periphery, out to the edges. Where it once commanded respect for its place in the community, it no longer commands that respect. And in some cases, the church's own mistakes and misdeeds have diminished the respect it once garnered. Where the wider world once saved Sundays for the church's message and ministry, we now have to compete with shopping malls, Little League practice sessions, televised Vikings games, and the fishing boats and snowmobiles in people's backyards. The sure sense of mission that once animated the church has become uncertain. The young people who once stayed in our small communities and carried the church's work into the next generation often go elsewhere to find the work and careers they are eager to pursue, or sometimes they simply must move. The church lives and does its work in a different world from the one in which many of us in this room grew up. The change can disorient people and make them wonder if they're ready for all this change. Like the exiles in faraway Babylon, many would love to go back to the days when the temple or the church was the center of community life and the city walls were high and strong because everything seemed so clear and so good back then. Yet, like the exiles, God calls us to live in the world as it is and proclaim the kingdom of God in words and deeds right outside the door of this church. We may want to spend our energy remaking the world of the past, in which the church was the center of community life and had a respected place in the community. Yet if we want to see the world change with God's guidance and help, would God's people be better off with a world that is more caring, more equal, more just, and more fair? The church of long ago may seem like it came from a golden age, and yet we know in our heads and in our hearts that in those days the world and the church were far from perfect. We may want to spend our energy on the church's mission in places like Africa, China, India, Latin America, and the Pacific Islands, much like the church did for a century and a half. Yet in many places, the churches our ancestors planted in those faraway locations are mature, vibrant, thriving church bodies doing significant ministries who have much to teach us as we wonder about the church today. We may want to comb the streets and playgrounds looking for children for a revitalized Sunday school or an even bigger Wednesday fusion program that would remind us of the busy Sunday schools of the church's salad days. Yet perhaps God is calling some of our churches to provide ministry with older people who are living longer and have new challenges in life. A retired colleague of mine devoted his early retirement years to ministry with people who have Alzheimer's disease, and he describes his late-in-life ministry with these words: the older people in your church are the ones who might need ministry. He traveled the world to find churches doing unique and innovative ministries with people who have Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. Does God love Christ's body, the church, any less than he did 50 or 60 years ago? Does God reach out to the people he loves as much as he did back then? Has God stopped reaching out and calling his people to be the light of Christ in a darkened world since the good old days when congregations similar to this one were routinely filled with people on Sunday morning? We know the answers to these questions, and the answer is a resounding no. God loves us in Jesus Christ dearly, and he loves us much more than we can love ourselves. And God still calls us to worship and serve in the church named after his Son, even if those forms of church life look very different from the golden age of decades ago. We probably need to listen carefully to discern those things to which God is calling us, because so many of them seem to be so new. Still, God delights in our worship and work for the good news, and he promises every day that plenty of opportunities still exist, and that those opportunities will bring to us the joy of serving God and serving others. The church may not be as big or as prominent as it seemed to be when the baby boomers grew up, but God still loves us dearly, all of us, like he did back then. We may struggle with the church's place in the world, but God still struggles with us and beside us as we face the big changes that have come our way. It was the end of the world for the exiles newly arrived in Babylon who received Jeremiah's letter. The last thing they wanted to hear was a prophetic oracle to settle down in a faraway country as they grieved over their destroyed hometown and temple, as well as the way of life that they cherished. But God instructed them to live and even prosper in this strange land, to build homes, plant gardens, keep the faith, and pass it on to their children and grandchildren. Like them, our community of faith, our way of life has changed so much that it too might seem like a new world. God asks us to live and share the faith in a world that is far different from the one in which many of us grew up. May we be wise enough to listen to God and discern the ways in which God wants us to share the good news of Jesus Christ in the here and now. Amen. The hymn is number 314. This text on the community of Christ was written by Shirley Arena Murray, a fine hymn writer who did her work in New Zealand. She died a couple of years ago, and not long before that, I had the experience of exchanging emails with her on another hymn. But she has left quite a legacy. I'm sure you'll recognize the tune. Let us stand and join our voices together in Community of Christ. I invite you to be seated. I have received one request for prayer, and that is for the family of Alan Glazer. I would also add another concern of my own for the loved ones of the Reverend Gene Krieger, a colleague of mine who was very helpful to me at a couple of tough times when I was in ministry in Wisconsin. He died this past Monday. Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for those who have run the race of faith before us and now surround us like a cloud of witnesses. We thank you for those who pass the word of your love to each new generation. We thank you for martyrs and saints who give themselves in love for you and in the pursuit of peace and justice on earth. We give you thanks, infinite God, for the church around the world. We thank you that we count as our brothers and sisters in Christ, people of all races, tongues, and nations. From the villages of India to the mountains of Peru, from the cities of Russia to the plains of Canada, your name is praised. We thank you for those who witness faithfully to you in the midst of political or economic oppression. May all your people, wherever they are, be one. We give you thanks, living God, that here and now you give us parts to play in the great drama of your love. Speak through us and move through us, that the story of your mighty deeds will be known in our time and place. With the faithful of all ages, may we be Christ's body on earth, for it is in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Compassionate God, hope of the humble, and refuge of those in need, lend us your ear once again as we bring to you our concerns for others in their time of need. We pray for those who seek prayer in troubled times, especially the family of Alan Glazer. We pray for those who are sick or injured, who look towards surgery or who recover from it, that they would be witness to your healing power. We pray for those who grieve as a loved one has died, especially the family and friends of the Reverend Gene Krieger. We pray for all who suffer, known or unknown to us, that new meaning, that meaningless suffering would end and that fresh meaning would be found for those things which must be endured. Lift the hearts of these people, gracious God, that they and we would together sing praises to your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to boldly pray these words, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ's church.
loving God, we bring to you our gifts according to the ways in which we have prospered under your care. Follow these gifts with your blessing, that they would be used to share your love in Jesus Christ with all the world's people. Make us as ready to give to your purposes as we are needy for your mercy through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
The hymn is number 457. Let's join our voices together in "Jesus, I Live to You." Christ, our only Savior, so dwell within us that we may go forth with the light of hope in our eyes and the fire of inspiration on our lips, your word on our tongues, and your love in our hearts. Amen. Go in peace, love and serve the Lord.